Hey everyone, and welcome to Wife Me Up. I'm your host, Megan Faulkner, and you know I love hanging out with you here in podcast land. It's so fun to chat, learn, and hear stories together. I am just so glad that you're here. It's Thursday, March 14th, and I know that you're going to love my conversation with our guest today, April Knight. April and her husband, Robert, live and serve in Asheville, North Carolina. April is the dreamer, Robert is the doer, and they say that their kiddos are the distractors, for now at least. April's in the ministry marketplace space where she creates art and cultivates places for others to experience Jesus. She's the founder of Scripture Doodle and the founder of Well-Crafted Retreats, which you'll hear more about in the episode. April loves crafting and producing creative Bible study tools for you to encounter Jesus, and I cannot wait for you to hear her story today. Ways to connect with April are in the show notes today, and I hope that you will. Her art is incredible, her stories are worth listening to, and her ministry is absolutely unbelievable, you guys. You can check out her book, Scripture Doodle, on her website or wherever books are sold, and there are so many other resources too that I know you're just going to love it. April is a spitfire of joy and dreams, and if you need some encouragement today, I hope that you will turn up the volume and drown out the world. You are going to want to listen to our friend. Additionally, these next upcoming shows have incredible lineup to them. I cannot even tell you how I am fangirling all over the place. It's a little embarrassing, but I'm just going with it. It's really unreal. I cannot wait for you to hear these conversations from some people who are totally living on and with purpose. These stories are amazing. April's fits right into this category. We are going to dive right into it today, but before we do, remember, Wife Me Up is for the unmarried person who wants to feel like they're a part of the club. It's for the married person who has anyone unmarried in their life. It's for the dating, the engaged, the enraged, and every kind of person in between. My hope is that this show will provide a little humor, a lot of fun ideas, and ways that we can all be a little more connected to each other's stories, to not isolate or assume, but to engage and ask, to tell stories, to share ideas, and to, as often as possible, create things for others to enjoy. Because what actually is life if it's not shared? Here is my conversation with April Knight. April, I am so glad that you are finally here on Wife Me Up. Thank you so much for coming.
Listen, it is my greatest joy. I was so excited to be asked, but mostly because I love you so much, and to get to talk with you is just a joy always. So,
oh, you're so sweet. Will you introduce yourself to our community? Tell everybody who you are in the world, what you do, anything really that you want to share.
Yeah. Okay. So my name's April Knight, and I'm a longtime friend of Megan from our early Jesus years. And that's so since Megan and I have been living day to day, which was 20 years ago.
Yeah, minimum. That's annoying. You didn't really have to share that. That was fine.
So anyway, you know, I kind of, my life has looked like I serve alongside my husband in ministry at our local church, but my passion is really art. And we produce creative Bible study resources to help people encounter God through creativity and worship. And that looks like leading workshops, producing original artwork, and also putting on creative retreats for women, which Megan spoke at one of my very first, probably 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah.
That was a fun one, actually.
That was very fun. They're all fun. And that was really special.
Yeah.
Maryland and doing that. So
yeah. Yeah, you didn't really have to tell the people how long we've known each other, but it's fine. I understand that you wanted to build some relational clout there. But I still like to think that we are sometimes teenagers, teenagers, mere babes. But I want the world to hear about my world, Wife Me Up, you know, my whole world, to hear about your life and your businesses. And I have been so excited for our community to hear from you. We've known each other for a very long time, as you said, and I have had the joy and the pleasure and the opportunity to watch your gifts grow over the years. And we have gotten to do some really cool kingdom stuff together, which just still blows my mind sometimes. Like, I cannot believe these things were entrusted to us. We were so little when we were doing like really big things. But I've watched your ministry grow and expand and reach so many people. So can you talk to us a little bit about the big picture of your passion and kind of how that plays out in your everyday life?
Yeah. So, I think my biggest passion is really just in a simple statement, is just like to help people meet God in a creative way. I think what we remember in our years of kind of teenagers, I totally agree. God entrusted us with something so huge. And it's just so funny because like 20 years into ministry, we're both serving in ministry. I would say we're both equally as passionate, if not more, with the same calling that God's given us. I think we didn't realize how special that was. Like as 17, 18 year olds to be in, you know, partnering with God in such a kingdom work. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, let's do it again. Knowing everything we know now, that actually that is still what matters the most.
Yeah.
And I think the hardest thing as adults going into our 30s and even beyond that is like keeping that desperate passion for God as you grow and have to do things like pay bills and have a self-esteem that is like, you know, strong, and just that the things that come with life and all the complexities of that. So, yeah, I think it really answered that call to art ministry when I was probably in a room with you at a retreat. And, you know, I think if you're listening to this and you have this passion that you're not sure what to do with it, I would just say, give it to the Lord. Step one, like, talk to God about it, give it to God. And then I would say, you know, like as you continue on, so I'm 38, I've been in this thing for, I would say 18 years or 20 years.
20 years.
20 years really kind of answering this call to art ministry. But 20 years ago, there was no such thing as really this like creative art ministry that is so tangible and accessible through things like Instagram and Pinterest. Now, none of those existed then, you know?
Right.
So I think, you know, the passion has carried many different faces over the last many years. So, you know, in my early 20s, God gave this concept to me called scripture doodle is kind of what he called it. But, you know, the heart was picking a Bible verse and illustrating a picture of what it looks like. At the time, I was doing a lot of commission artwork. I had just graduated college. I was trying to figure out how to pay my bills with this dream. And I'm still trying to figure that out. But so the scripture doodle came as like this sort of desperate need for myself to continue to meet with the Lord, to stay anchored to that passion that we felt so strongly as teenagers.
Yeah.
That actually, mine was Jesus. And then the gifts he's given you are like the way you steward this call to the kingdom, whether it looks like vocational ministry, whether it looks like marketplace ministry, you know. I'm so grateful to be in the church and also be in the marketplace, and it's looked so many different ways. So scripture doodle came in my early 20s. And then as that grew, you know, God kind of gave this dream. I just wrote in my journal one day, I want to help put on this creative worship retreat. I didn't even know what that was, but that was a language that popped into my head. So I wrote it down. And shortly after, I think 2015, 2016 was the first one we hosted. And then you, I think, spoke at the one in 2017, 2018.
That's probably right. Yeah.
And so, you know, the heart of that was just helping people, really curating the space for women to have a life-changing encounter with God. And the funny thing is, that is where we began, you and I, were these life-changing moments where God captured our hearts around our own life, around our passion, whatever, and helped us believe the truth in the of like, hey, I'm all you ever need, and let's work together to help other people realize that I'm all that they need too. And so like, I would say the 20 years of my ministry is just different moments of helping curate those moments for other people, finding them again for myself, and then producing resources to help people really make that space for God to move in their heart. Sometimes that looks like individual Bible study through scripture doodle. Sometimes it looks like going away to a retreat, because we all love the idea of a retreat, but like put it together to like do the legwork of like, hey, this is the theme we're talking about, and this is the beautiful space. Like, even for me, I'm like, okay, I need to go to retreat after I've planned this beautiful retreat. So, just like making those life-changing moments possible for people, because it was in a moment like that where I shifted my career goals. I shifted everything. I quit
Yeah.
nursing school. Like, it was like this bad face in my ministry, in my life, that came from this moment where God spoke to me and I was willing to believe him.
April, I totally forgot that you were in nursing school.
Yeah, right.
Now I'm remembering this and this whole thing unfolding. It really is kind of crazy when you are young and passionate, just in general, right? Like you're just a passionate, you fall into the passionate people are passionate category. So whatever it is that you're doing, like that's what you're going to be doing.
There's passion and whatever.
Yeah, whatever the thing is. But for you to, I mean, we were little, like we were, yeah.
So we, for everyone to know, like, we were 15, 16, 17 years old when it's like, it's such a word for like, find people who also love the Lord and do not let them out of your life. Like,
Yeah.
what we used to drive hours to meet together. We didn't even grow up together. Like, I would drive an hour to your house. You would drive
Right.
an hour to meet, and we would just talk about Jesus, and we would
Yeah.
just keep in the flame for
Yeah.
years,
For
all of it.
years. Yeah. Those are some, I mean, that is the kingdom, right? Like that is what God is talking about when he's talking about the kingdom. It's really baffling now. It's not baffling. It shouldn't be baffling, but the fact that the nursing school thing really just set me off. We were so
And so a little bit of the story around that is, like, I grew up wanting to be a nurse. I had a Sunday school teacher who was a nurse who would go on mission trips, and I fell in love. I've always had such a heart for missions. And so I kind of fell in love with this idea of helping people in an area of great need. And that was what I put to it. Like, I guess I'm going to be a missionary nurse. Okay. So then I was in high school. I started some independent study art classes, which were, I was at a public high school. It's very available to really anyone super interested in that. And then I went to a retreat that I'm pretty sure was with you.
Yeah, I think so.
I sat on the floor and just, like, naively told the Lord, like, whatever you want to do with my art, I'm fine. I think at this point it was like summer before we were going to
I
college.
think you're right.
So I was in the summer, and I just was like, I did want to give the Lord my art, but I had no idea that he would ask me to shift my entire career path. And I always loved art, but I couldn't put my head around how it could become a career. Because, like, remember, at that point, there was no social media. I mean, you could build a website, but, like, could people find you? It was like that
No.
whole. So shortly after, I did do 2 years of a bachelorette program in nursing school, and then I had another encounter with God at a retreat conference where I had this word of intercession given to me that was like, God is gonna asking you to die to something and to give up something. And when you do, it's gonna help people worship God through their gifts of creativity. So that was sort of this sort of like catapulting momentum moment where I knew immediately that I was supposed to quit nursing school. And I'm telling you, when I tell you, I heard the devil in my left ear say to me, this is not going to work. You are going to, this is not going to work. But I was crazy enough to believe that God could do anything, and so I, like, literally called my mother. I quit nursing school. I called my boyfriend at the time, who I ended up marrying, and I called my grandfather shortly after, who was paying for my education, to tell him I was quitting nursing school to pursue to be an artist. And
Art.
I remember my grandfather, who is an incredible man of God, who is in heaven now, saying, but he's also a very good, he's a businessman, entrepreneur, like, very successful. He could get behind a dream, but he also wanted to know how the dream was going to work. And so I remember calling him and saying, Papa, I'm quitting nursing school and I'm going to study art. And at this point, I was halfway through nursing school, right? And he said, well, April, don't you think you want a backup plan? Like, what about a backup plan? You're almost done. And I said to my grandmother, who was giving $10,000 a year of his own money for me to go to school, I said, Papa, I don't need a backup plan. because if I have a blackout plan, that means I am not trusting God. And I
Oh.
was, and in hindsight, I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish I could know what he was thinking. Like, I literally, and he was a man of few words. So, like, I think he was just like, okay, well,
Okay.
I wasn't quitting college. Like, I continued on at my same university. I switched my major
Right.
to end up getting a degree in religion, which is hilarious because there wasn't even an art major at my college. Knew I was probably not going to fall into like art education, or I wasn't going to fall into business. Maybe I should have gotten a business degree. I knew that it was Jesus and art that I loved, and that's what he was calling me to. And it really was a wild journey after that. At
Yeah.
that point, I was 8 years old, I think, and now I'm 38.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting? Like, you could have stayed in nursing school and your life would have been good. You could have been you would have been a great nurse.
Many times I have said that to myself. I could be a nurse. I could have been a nurse. A thousand percent true. And I could have done ministry with the Lord.
You could have.
Well, yeah. But it was like this greater.
Yeah.
Sometimes God will just ask you to risk it. Like, are you willing? Like,
Yeah.
would you go?
Yeah.
And you could, you, it's like, I feel like I chose the greater adventure.
That's right.
And I do also believe I chose the harder path.
Yeah.
At least, 20 years in, I'm like, I still, there were many years when I'm like, ah, I could have been a nerd. But
But you could have, right? And that's the point. The point is that it would have been okay, but would it have been great?
right. I think I would have lived my whole life wondering, like, what if I, and I don't have to wonder about the life of an, and the, nursing is an incredible career. Like, if you're a nurse hearing this,
Absolutely.
do not hear that. For me, God, I don't have to wonder what that life would have been like, because I couldn't guess it. It would have been dependable. It would have been, well, I would have served people, but
Yep.
I would always wondered what it could have been like if I would have been willing to go with God to the wild adventure.
Yeah.
And the story 20 years in is like, it's been really amazing and it's been really hard.
Yeah.
And there's been times that I've had to go back to that word as a 20-year-old when that woman said to me, God is saying this for you. And I didn't even know this girl. So that's
Yeah.
funny. Although I'm kind of weird. Like, I'll, if someone tells me that the Lord said something and it resonates with me, I'm like, okay, as long as scripture, like, now told my husband that, he'd been like, okay, let's see. I would like a spreadsheet and like some projected number. And he's wonderful, but I'm a little bit wild. So I'm not afraid to go with God, but there's many times that I've been like, oh, did I hear you? Not that I did I hear you right, but like, why do I feel like I'm messing this up? Why do I feel like this is being so hard fought? Why do I feel like I can't get it right and I am causing this delay and da 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 da. I don't know. I don't know the answer to
Yeah,
that
but okay, so like nursing would have been good, but when you like you are actually living a life where your passion and your calling are colliding. And every single day there's a collision of passion and calling, and even on the hard day, right? Like almost especially the hard day.
Yes, on the hard day. You
It,
find it
that
more. In your desperate moments, you're like, everything, you make sense, God, but like everything else, or like I can find my place of belonging with you, God.
Yeah.
And that's when you have to like release, you have to release for me, like, okay, I have to release, so I don't understand. And all I know is like, if I can get to this deep place of surrender with God
Yeah.
and trust.
Yeah.
But you're right, there's a collision. And I would be bold enough to say that I actually believe that's God's desire for every person.
100%.
Their passion and their work would collide. And I think there's many reasons why at certain points in our life we aren't there. But I think at different points in your life, it looks different. Like for me, there were been times when, teaching art classes to people in my home was the thing, and now it looks like planning conferences and producing written research. It looks different. The
Yep.
heart is the same. And I
Yes.
would say, you, like, there's been many times you've worked in ministry your whole
My
adult
entire
life,
career. Yep.
even as a teenager, and it's looked a little different. And now, you're writing books, you're hosting a
Yeah.
podcast.
Right.
It's a different face, same call, same
Same call.
vision.
Yeah. We had a, April and I shared a mentor when we were little. I mean, we were 16, 17, 18 with this man, and he'd always tell us to hold on to your calling, but let go of your ministry. And so your calling is the thing that would look, I know the calling is the passion, right? Like that's hold on to that thing. Let go of your ministry. It could look like anything. It could look like art classes in your house. It could look like planning conferences. It could look like leading next to your husband at your local church. It could look like all of these things, but you have to hold on to your calling. Let go of whatever the ministry is the ministry. But your calling is a thing that is like yours from the Lord, that you have to white knuckle grip that thing.
And remember it. Remember when your doubts creeps in, remember what the Lord said to you.
Yeah.
That has kept me grounded so many times. I wanted to give up.
Yeah. Oh, I want to give up like every third Tuesday at 2:10 or whatever. Like
It's crazy. We're still feeling that, but that desperate place with the Lord is the only place, the best place to be, you know.
Yeah.
And if you're not there today, you'll tomorrow or whatever. And just when exactly what you said, holding on to that calling. There were times when I, so like we got married, we moved to Australia for a minute.
Oh,
I
yeah.
came back and I was like, couldn't figure out how to turn art into a career. And so I was like, I think I'm gonna go to hair school. I think I'm gonna be a cosmetologist. I think maybe I'll, you know, whatever. And it's like I've spent six a chunk of time figuring out, because I'm an artist. I was an artist at that time. I'm like, I love hair. I could do hair. And I literally remember God saying, like, remember what I told you? Like, I love you so much, April. You can be a hairstylist, but that is not what I've called you to. You know, like, you remember what I said, which is I've called you. At this point, I was out of college. I had quit nursing. I graduated with a ministry degree. And even so, there's that like growing pain of figuring out what it's going to look like, especially if God has called you to pioneer something where you are not working for a company or a church
Yeah.
or a person. It's definitely in some ways a trickier journey, especially for someone like me. Like, if you don't know me, I mean, I am like, I love the Lord. I love wild adventure. I love a dream from God more than anything, probably in the whole entire world. But I am not a business-minded person. I'm not administrative, really. I'm not, there's a lot I'm not. So many times, like, Lord, if you could have made me different, like, I could have crushed this thing out of the park. Like, I could have been running a million-dollar company by this point. And then, you know, it's just diverse. When you're weak, you're strong. It doesn't matter. God wants you desperate for him. And
Oh my gosh, that is the truth. If you, God, if you would have made me different, I would have
oh my God.
crushed this thing.
I mean, I was weeping the other day. I won't share this story, but I was weeping the other day about a mistake that I made that I feel like I'm trying to still figure out how it's not going to ruin my life. But I literally said to the Lord, like, if you would have made me different. And then a friend was like, April, you know what? There's things that God made you with so that you can walk in this calling.
Yeah.
And there's always this sort of like basement to our gifts, right? So the basement, my creative, free, wild faith spirit is that I don't always remember a deadline for, you know, and the
Something.
something, you know. And but had God made me deeply administrative, which is, I think, one of the best gifts ever, I maybe would be unwilling to like say
Yeah.
yes to God without seeing the 3-year metrics of what it would look like. I mean, that's the reality. Like, how many retreats have I hosted that I've lost money financially? Basically, almost all of them, you know. But the kingdom, that's the thing. You got to remember, God's kingdom is different than this world.
That's right.
So if you are willing to go with God, I remember. Okay, so we hosted this retreat in Maryland. It was wonderful. It was one of our best. They're all so special. We drove back from that. So we were living in South Carolina at the time, or North Carolina. We drove back from that event running rough numbers and finding out that we lost about $2,000 to $3,000 on that event. Now, at that time, you know, actually what a lot of people don't realize is my work has never really financially supported my dream work. I've done lots of work in the years, has never really financially supported myself or my family
Right.
to a substantial degree. And I remember running those numbers and my wonderful administrative husband, like, okay, this is about what we lost. And I said, I feel like a millionaire. I literally was like, I feel like a millionaire. We just saw God this incredible thing. And he's like taking that with a grain of salt, but also really like, and we can't run a business losing money all the time. And so like, I'm so grateful for him and his
Yeah.
willingness. to say yes and support, you know, financially the call, but it's looked so many different ways.
Yeah. And isn't that like God though? Like, isn't that like God to be like, okay, we're going to take this passion and this calling. And in this season, this is what the world needs. And in this season, this is what the world needs. And in this season where you're moving, because you guys moved from South Carolina to where you are now in North Carolina, in Asheville. And this is what these people here need. And this is what these women in this region need. Then you're coming up to Maryland, you're doing these other things. And isn't it like him to just continually be transforming us?
Yes. Yes. And it's in that deep that I think transformed in a special way. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget that, like, this whole world is about preparation for heaven. And so I think at the end of the day, I'll be so grateful that I went with God, even if I never truly paid my bills. Yeah. Like, because my heart will be ready for heaven, as opposed to, like, this world is so different. It's not a home. And so it makes sense that sometimes it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Just go pick God anyway. Just go with God anyway.
Go with him anyway, for sure.
Yeah. What is, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but I want to unpack it for a second. What is something about leading well-crafted? So that's the brand for the retreats, right? Leading well-crafted and scripture doodle. That you didn't expect.
I didn't expect it to be so hard. you know, I think one of the things that has surprised me, I'll say this, specifically in the well-crafted side, so the retreat side of things, I didn't expect it to propel many women into their calling. It's like, I did expect that. Okay, I was actually, that's why we started. So God would have these moments. I didn't expect to watch God launch them into a very successful world. A few girls in the arts, you know, they came, they had an encounter with God, and it catapulted them to what would look like kingdom girls, right? But that would look like business success, worldly success, and also kingdom success. And I kind of did expect that, but what I didn't expect is that my world of quote unquote success would maintain at this point that felt like frustrating, right? Yeah. And a couple of years ago, I was wallowing to the Lord about this in my bathroom, in the shower. He always talks in the shower, you know?
Yep.
And I literally was like, God, I'm frustrated, right? I see you doing this thing with all these people, and I've literally given my life to ministry to see you do this thing. I thought you might also do it through me. And I literally felt like God said to me, April, you're an igniter. So you just got to be happy that you're an igniter. And if that's not what you want to be, then you're going to feel frustrated for the rest of your life, because that's what I made you do. So I see many times God igniting people's calling through these environments that he has kindly involved me in, because really he is the igniter, but like he's partnering with me to see that happen. And you know, that I didn't expect that, you know, because I wanted both, and right, we want to have all. And so like I just felt like God was like, you need to rejoice with them and trust that I've got you, and you need to just find peace with being igniter. And it made a lot of sense, and then now I don't feel so frustrated by that. I'm like, okay, well, thank you, God, for igniting this in this person, because really, if that's all the self-sacrifice I ever lived through, then aren't I just so blessed, right? Yeah. You know, I live in this beautiful country with this beautiful, all these freedoms, and like, poor me for having to ignite someone else into success, sit up frustrated, because obviously doing something else. I don't know.
Isn't it interesting though, because we were kind of called and shaped in ministry when we were babies. And those people live, the people who really walked alongside of us, I mean, I'm talking like poured their life into us time and time again, live these very quiet, but very strong, beautiful lives. And they would look at us and have and say the same thing. Like, you girls are lighting the world on fire and you have podcasts and books and you're in Barnes and Noble. And
right.
So I think that's just how the kingdom works. Like, there were people who did the same thing for us who, I mean, I have never met people as dedicated to like launching people into ministry as the kind of crew that we had growing up in those teenage years. I mean, these people were like passionate about making sure that we heard from the Lord, that we got our calling, that we were set up for success, that, I mean, they were pushing us and praying over us and like, I mean, really, really passionate about what the Lord was going to do in and through us as believers, walking out our calling, going with God. And they live, they're not on social media like we're on social media. They're not podcasting like we're podcasting. They're not speaking at retreats, they're not hosting events. They're not, but they are faithful, committed believers. And say the same thing that now you and I, like I say it about students, you know, who are growing up and doing all these things like, oh my gosh, look at what all these kids are doing. Like they're surgeons and they're this and they're that. And like, here I am like, but that's just God's kingdom.
That is such a good word, Megan. And it's so true. And it's also that word of just like trusting God, staying close to God and he has you, because I feel like on the flip, the enemy is always going to make you feel like what he's called you to is not good enough.
Yeah.
Not enough, not profitable enough, not holy enough. And I think some people, exactly what you said, these women who prayed prayers over us at these retreats we went to, literally like some of the things that these people said shaped my life for eternity.
Eternity.
Like I remember them. Like the thing that, you know, David Burke, you as a 20, you know, you hear that as an 18-year-old and now almost 40, you're like, yeah, it still rings true. Yep. You're exactly right. And it's all about that multiplication.
Yeah.
And if we can find peace that God will put us where he wants us, and that those little day-to-day moments of faithfulness.
Yeah.
To say yes to serving on a retreat for a bunch of 15-year-old girls with a lot of emotions, you know, like, it shaped that. It shaped us for it. And like exactly what you said, there are these faithful people living a simple life with God who probably will never understand the impact of what they sowed until eternity.
Yeah. So one of those people was visiting, also lives not far from where I do here, and was visiting a couple summers ago. And Catherine, she's amazing, like told me many things about Jesus. And I think I know the most about the Bible because of a small group in high school because of her. And I went to like Bible college. Okay. But like she taught me what I know about the scripture, really led me to the Lord. And I was outside of our church and these little girls came up, these like teenage, you know, high school girls. And I was like, oh my gosh, you guys, this is Catherine. She was like a celebrity. I mean, a full on celebrity. They were fawning over, oh my gosh, you taught Megan about the Bible. But I'm like, this is your grandma. This is like your spiritual Nana. Here she is right here. This is how the kingdom works. And Catherine was like, no, no, no. Like she wouldn't even hear it. She didn't even want anything to do with it. And it was just really incredible to be like, no, this is it. Like if you're faithful, if you're just faithful with the person in front of you, the multiplication that God does of that, whoever that person is, right? It's a woman on a retreat for you. It's someone you're commissioned to do an art piece for. It's a church that you're speaking at, whatever it is. If we're just faithful in that thing, God will multiply. His job is the multiplication. Our job is to respond to the call.
That's right. So true. So very true. Mm. So good.
Girl, so good. I do, before we are finished, I do want to talk about your creative process. I don't want people to like miss, we've talked a lot about business and ministry and how hard it is, and it is hard, but I want to talk about the creative process. What is it like to experience God in the ways that you do through your art. And if someone were stuck in their creative process, I do believe that we have a lot of creative people who listen to this podcast based on what I know about them. So if someone were stuck in their creative process, what guidance would you give them? So how do you experience God in your process? And if someone were stuck, what should they do?
Yeah, so good. I love that. So I think for me, you know, well, the first thing I'll say is I'll talk about when you feel stuck, because I've felt that before. And there was a time when I think I was planning a retreat or something. It was probably 3 or 5 years ago. And I remember feeling this like deep worry that someday the creativity would expire, you know, and yes. I felt God said to me, April, if you stay close to me, you are never going to run out of creative inspiration. And that's the truth. Like, stay close to the Father, because when you remain in him, that is where, that's what the word says. You remain in me and you will bear fruit. So if you feel creatively say, stay close to God, evaluate your life. Like, are you in the word? Are you spending time in that secret place with him? Is there sin in your life that you are not coming to realities with, you know? Yeah. There's many times I felt stuck. And then I think when I feel stuck, it is as simple as like, hey, when is the last time you sat in the studio and just got in the word? You know, for me, the creative process has almost always begun with the word. Yeah. Reading a Bible verse, or really what God is doing in me. You know, I painted a painting a couple for, I don't do at this point in my life a ton of artwork just for fun. I wish I did. I hope to get back to that place again. Right now, I usually have a project or something. Usually the projects that God gives me have come out of something I am experiencing or walking through. I have a series of portraits called She Portraits on my website, which if you go on, you can see. And I'm telling you, that artwork began because I was in a deep, 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 deep place of defeat and doing everything wrong. And I feel like God said to me in the night, April, if you keep believing this about yourself, it is going to kill you. It is literally going to kill your spirit. It's going to destroy you. And I woke up with this idea to paint this portrait, this one. And I was calling it a She Portrait, and it's called Redeemed. And it's sitting, hanging in my studio right here. And it actually is this redheaded girl with no face and a braid in her hair. And it has all these words of life over her, words that are not necessarily scripture, but align with scripture. And God said to me, like, you need to start believing about yourself the way that I believe about you. And so I do a lot of these portraits. That was probably 6 or 7 years ago at this point. I do a lot of those portraits now on commission basis, or I'm working on another series of them that I'm partnering with, creating a Bible study resource with as well. So a lot of my creative process begins in what God is doing in me, and where my, you know, where I feel inadequate, with and for, and then I always align my work with the word. I mean, I love other artwork from other artists, but I'm not like awesome at knowing what's big in the art world and being connected even locally to my art scene. I've always sort of been this island, so to speak. I have creative friends, but, you know, I think, you know, if you're in that place of kind of bouncing back to the feeling stuck, like just creating for nothing, creating art for no reason, even if you, like, you're a writer, maybe you are a musician and you feel stuck, but like maybe play something that you love, you know, write something for no reason. For me, Scripture Doodle literally began out of a desperate need to make art for no reason.
Yeah.
And this Bible study practice just for myself, and I literally thought, like, maybe someone will look at this and be encouraged.
That was the same thing.
Yeah. And or just see this word illustrated and be like, oh my gosh, I really needed to know that I'm loved, or I needed to know that in this world I'm gonna have trouble, but I can take heart because God has overcome the world. Like, putting art to Jesus is kind of the feel, and just knowing that, like, oftentimes I think when you come into that place of desperation, God is so good that it's not just going to be for you. Like, sometimes it is just, but so many times this gift and this work that God is doing in you is going to be because other people have walked through a similar thing, you know? And so after this redheaded girl that I painted a series of I think there's like 9 portraits, and I have sold more prints of that work than anything I've ever done. And I will literally be at a show or an event, and I'll see someone flip through them and find the painting of a girl who doesn't necessarily look like them, but she's weeping because whatever God said on
to
that
her.
painting
Yeah.
was what she, you know. And so, you know, if you're creative, I would just say, like, be willing to be raw and honest with God and put your craft into it and see what he does, because he's going to through you to others out of what you have experienced. I mean, I bet you would say that's true, Megan.
Oh, 100%. I was in the process of writing my book, got so stuck. I had the worst writer's block, like months. I'm talking months, and there are deadlines, and I have months of like, I have no idea what to do right now. I'm crying. I'm staying up all night. I'm sleeping. I'm going for walks. I'm exercising. I can do nothing. I'm drinking coffee. Like, I am short of becoming a cigarette smoker at this point. Like, I am like, what do I do? Like, how do I make this happen? And I felt like God was like, just write, Megan. Like, stop thinking and just write. And I was like, oh, okay. So I wrote thousands of words that did not get published, are not in my book, but it just reignited like whatever was happening, whatever hamster wheel my brain was on.
Right.
It got me out of that, right? And into like, okay, I'm actually a human with a brain and I know how to do this. Like, I can write. Nobody would say like, hey, we think we can publish your book if they didn't think I could write. You know, like there's like things that come along with that. So yeah, I would say the same thing is true. Like, just do it. Just do it stuck. Do it anyway.
Yes. Yes. 1,000%. Yes.
And my like do it stuck led to like a book, and your do it stuck leads to business. Like, just do it stuck. Who cares? Just do it.
Yes.
I want to make sure that people know where to find you. It's very impressive where to see your artwork. And I want to make sure too, people know that Scripture Doodle is a book, right? It's a 6-week devotional.
Yeah, so we actually have 2 different websites. ScriptureDoodle.com is where you can see a lot of my artwork, my prints for sale, our resources. We have 2 different Scripture Doodle Bible studies, which are in book form. And then we have some other resources like video classes, art classes, creative Bible study art classes, and then Well-Crafted Retreats is our website as well for our retreat side of things, where we host yearly, quarterly events, large scale and online and small scale local in the Asheville area. So yeah. And then I'm on Instagram, both of those on Instagram. And then my personal Instagram is April A. Knight. So that's like too many ways to get connected, but that's that.
And listeners, we will put all of that in the show notes, so it'll be an easy click for you. But I can definitely recommend, obviously, going through April's things, going through the website, have used tons of her resources, have even used her resources internationally. We've used them in Haiti in talking with kids about who Jesus is. It's been like kind of unbelievable what God has really, I mean, April, yeah, like think about that for a minute, right? Like, you're like, what am I doing with my life? And like, kids in the developing world have encountered Jesus because of resources you made.
Yeah, that is humbling. That's really sweet. I think that's just a testament to God's goodness and the willingness to partner with him with what he's given you. You know, yes, the resource we produce a gospel resource on the mission field, and it is, and I'm not sure if that's what you used, but we literally went to Nicaragua and saw this like gap of literacy for these women who didn't read and had no way to study the Bible. And so we produced this gospel resource through Scripture Doodle. And it's just, that's who God is. Wherever he's gifted you, he will give you opportunities to partner with him for the kingdom, whether that's in the marketplace, whether that's in vocational ministry, because, you know, the gifts he's given you literally are on purpose to see his kingdom come to earth. So.
Girl, what a great way to end it. That was awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I You know, I love you a long time, and I'm just so grateful.
Same girl. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Listeners, we'll see you over on Megan Recommends. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Megan Recommends, just a little place where we share things that are making our world sweeter in hopes that they will make your world sweeter too. Today, I recommend obviously listening to April. April, what is your recommendation?
Oh, you're so sweet. Okay, so my recommendation is something, it is blessing me, it's giving me life. It's called Living Room Worship, and it's exactly what it sounds like. And this is something I do a few mornings a week where I just need to ground myself into, you know, the truth of who God is. And so it's not fancy at all. All you need is a TV and a living room, or you could do it in your bedroom. And I literally turn on YouTube worship and I pick a worship song and I literally just worship my head off. And it looks different lots of different days. Sometimes I'm dancing around my living room, shouting prayers for my home or my family. And sometimes it looks like sitting on my face and just listening and letting these words wash over me. And those moments have been so many moments of victory and just a grounding of who God is and how good he is. So if you have never entered into living room worship, I'm telling you, put it on your calendar, get in your living room, turn on a YouTube worship song, and just spend 10 minutes worshiping, and it will literally change your day, guaranteed.
I love it. Listeners, turn on that worship music. You heard it here first. Living room worship's the way to go. Thanks, April.